Nights. Nights in the Gardens of Spain by Manuel de Falla. Angela Cheng was the pianist.
This is WHFR Dearborn. Stay tuned for Pet Lovers Lane. Welcome to Pet Lovers Lane, located at 89.3 on your FM dial, WHFR Dearborn. I'm Susan Morell, and we are making waves. You are listening to Pet Lovers Lane, a news, information, and talk show about pets for pet lovers and for pets. And we're doing a very special show today for October 2007. We're celebrating the black cat as the official pet of Halloween. On that occasion, we have invited a very, very special guest, and his name is Alexander Zayakov, and he has a fabulous rescue group called Familiar Friends Black Cat Rescue. Welcome, Alex.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So tell us a little bit about the mission and the purpose of the Familiar Friends Black Cat Rescue.
The mission and purpose of Familiar Friends is to basically make sure that black cats don't suffer as a result of the superstitions that have been handed down to us in our culture. A couple years ago, we lost a cat passed on, and in going down to the local shelter in Wyandotte, we learned from the volunteers there that black cats typically are either euthanized very, very quickly or they languish in cages for months and months and months, primarily because of these superstitions. So we decided that we needed to do something about that, initiated Familiar Friends Black Cat Rescue as a charitable work of another organization known as FOCUS, or the Federation of Circles and Solitaries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit pagan organization based in Wyandotte.
Okay, and so the Familiar Friends Black Cat Rescue is also in Wyandotte?
It is. It's basically my home.
Okay, well, very good. So, and your title as the official person in charge of the Black Cat Rescue is what?
We aren't real big on titles, but I often send my emails as Chief Cat Pan Scooper.
Well, I find that wonderful. I think that's a great great title, and obviously a great cause, because here on Pet Lovers Lane, I've interviewed quite a few of the rescue groups around Metro Detroit and around Michigan. And in fact, one of the people that I had on the show did mention that to me, that the black cats were the most difficult to adopt. And when she had adoption fairs and sometimes all-day affairs and adopting pets and cats and dogs, the black cats were often the ones that were left behind at the end of the day. And I thought, gee, that's so sad. And I'm a cat lover, and I love black cats. So I have a little tuxedo cat at home, and I have Mitzi, who is, we'll talk about her a little more later. And then I have a stray black cat on my patio that I been feeding for 3 years. So if you can give me any advice about capturing this mother cat, please do.
Probably the best advice that I could give is to be patient, and a little bit of chicken breast helps. I had a feral cat that adopted me several years ago, came out of the woods around my house, and it was months before I was able to touch him at all. And it took the treat of a little bit of chicken breast to get him focused on something else while I pet him. And interestingly enough, once he realized how wonderful it felt to be pet, he couldn't get enough. And if you bent over and spent some time giving him love and attention as you started to walk away, he'd grab your leg, try to pull you back.
So you actually rescued this cat?
I did. This was several years ago before we started the Black Cat Rescue, and he remained a semi-feral cat for the first couple years that he was my friend. And one winter, he developed an upper respiratory infection that settled in his eye. And I had gone out and bought him a little dog house and put a heater in it, especially for dog houses, so that he would have some place to get in out of the cold while he was sick. Ultimately, I wound up bringing him in the house and taking him to the vet, and over the course of the next few months, he actually lost one of his eyes. But the people at VCA were wonderful in bringing him back to health, and he was a part of my family for a good number of years.
Oh, wow. That's a great success story. So you discovered that there is a need, a very special need in our communities for the rescue of black cats. You were talking a little bit about superstition. I guess people have this fear of black cats. I guess superstition basically is nothing more than a fear of the unknown.
Right. It can be. And interestingly, in the research, it seems to be very culturally based. Here in North America, we often think of black cats as being unlucky or somehow evil in many ways, which in my own personal experience growing up, I always thought that black panthers were one of the most beautiful animals in nature. So I was always drawn to black cats simply for their magnificence. But not many people feel that way. There are a lot of people that are superstitious. They're fear-based when it comes to picking out their cats. And in some cases, it's even that they have a fear for the animal themselves, because there are many urban legends about people catnapping, if you will, black cats for unsavory purposes. There's not a whole lot of evidence to actually back that up, but the urban legends continue to this day.
Yes, they do. And I was trying to do a little bit of research as to why did the black cat become the celebrated pet or animal of Halloween. And I think it was simply because of the history. And my understanding is that there's been superstition about the black cat from as long ago as the Middle Ages.
Right, right.
And somehow the black cats became associated with witches, those types of things, and the witch is familiar, hence the name of your group, Familiar Friends Black Cat Rescue. It's been cultural, and I guess it started in Europe, since we are a country of European descent. It arrived here in America, and of course, we had the Salem witch trials, and then we developed the mystery of Halloween, and of course, the witch is always a celebrated figure in Halloween. The familiar spirit is supposed to be the black cat, right?
It often is. It often is. And in some of the myths and legends, it can be a black cat, a white cat, or any other type of cat, but it seems like we've settled on black cats as being the traditional familiars.
Yes, that's true. I think a lot of people have fear of cats and say they don't like cats, and I think it's a misconception.
Right. Again, cats are different. They have that independence streak. They're silent. They're more nocturnal than some of the other companion animals that people bring into their homes. And they can do miraculous things. The feats that they can do acrobatically, and whether it's climbing your curtains or jumping to the top of your bookshelf, it's amazing the things that they can do.
Oh, yes, it is. And I know you mentioned this Federation of Circles and Solitaires. Tell us a little bit more about the mission and the purpose of that organization, and why you have this concern. Why necessarily the concern for black cats would follow?
The Federation of Circles and Solitaires is an umbrella group, if you will, of what are known as earth-based religions or pagan religions. Our membership and support over the last, we're coming up on 10 years now, has been as high as 200 members and probably another few hundred that actually support our events throughout the year. And interestingly enough, most people are familiar today with the term Wicca as a form of witchcraft or neo-pagan religion. But there are probably over 20 pagan traditions that are currently practiced in the United States, and the Federation of Circles and Solitaries, the last time we polled our members and supporters, it was pretty consistent with that. There were about 20 different pagan traditions represented. What does that consist of? What's known as traditional witchcraft, which is a little bit different than Wicca. Reconstructed religions, such as the ancient religions of Rome and Greece and Egypt, the Norse traditions, the Celtic traditions. So there's really, it's really quite an eclectic group. And by coming together as a single organization, one, we're able to build fraternity amongst the various people involved in the earth-based traditions, but it also gives us an opportunity to reach out to the community as a whole and start breaking down some of the superstitions and barriers that the population at large has about pagan beliefs and practices. In 2004 and 2005, for National Day of Prayer Services at Ford headquarters here in Dearborn, I was actually invited to provide invocations of a pagan nature to join all the other faiths that were represented there.
Well, that's wonderful. It's all about freedom of religion.
Yes, it is.
Here in America, and aren't we thankful for that?
I certainly am.
Yes, we are. That's why you're here today, because you have expertise in an area that is different from many other rescue groups. And I think the Black Cat has a very, very special role in our society. You are listening to WHFR 89.3 on your FM dial. We're making waves. I'm Susan Morrell, and this is Pet Lovers Lane. We are celebrating the Black Cat for Halloween this year on Pet Lovers Lane, and we have our very special guest, Alexander Zayakov, who is in charge of the Familiar Friends Black Cat Rescue. And we're talking a little bit about the history of the Black Cat, the Black Cat's cultural role in our society, and Halloween. In my research, I found that Halloween, October 31st, is Samhain.
It's actually pronounced Samhain.
Okay. Samhain, the New Year's Eve of the Wiccan year, and perhaps you could tell us a little bit about that.
In many of the pagan traditions, and especially in Wicca, the year is divided up, similar to a pie. It's cut into eights, and approximately every 45 days, there is what's known as a Sabbat or holy day or feast day. Samhain coincides with Halloween, and in fact, that's where we get Halloween from. It was originally a pagan tradition that was adopted, if you will, by the Christians who moved into that area and converted the local people, and they changed the name.
Okay, so they changed it to Halloween. And I think that the traditional colors of Halloween are black is the predominant color, and then, of course, you have orange in there. And what I discovered in my research was that orange relates to the burning of fires in the dark of the night.
That's correct.
Thank you. I'm correct on that. So that's how we have our colors, and black is the color of night. It's the color of darkness.
It is, and it also represents the closing, if you will, of the harvest year in many parts of Europe. It's said spiritually, amongst the many pagan traditions, that this date is the single day of the year when the veil between the living and those that have passed on is the thinnest. So many of these celebrations and rituals in the pagan community are about honoring the dead, dead loved ones, dead family. One of the most beautiful and elegant rites associated with this is what's known as a dumb supper. When people come together to celebrate this particular holiday, they'll actually set a plate in front of pictures of loved ones that have passed on, fill the plate as if they were present at the feast.
Well, and I think that goes along with some of the customary things that people do at Halloween, which is visit graveyards, and then there the ghosts and all of these different costumes or things, scary things that we think of for Halloween, go along with basically your own spiritual beliefs and are founded in your spiritual celebrations.
Absolutely. And I think you'll find that most of the people that are in the pagan community, many do consider themselves witches, whether regardless of the tradition that they happen to be on or happen to follow. Because of that identification of the individuals as a witch, they often take on some of the traditional elements that are portrayed in Hollywood. And don't get me wrong, Hollywood doesn't always get everything right, but it certainly makes for entertaining movies. But again, many people involved with witchcraft and the neo-pagan movement that have cats and other companion animals actually consider them their familiar.
Well, yes, and let's talk about the familiar. I got quite a definition here from the internet on familiar spirit from the Wikipedia, free encyclopedia. In their definition, it says, in early modern English witchcraft, a familiar spirit, commonly called a familiar, and that's from the Middle English familiar, which means related to family, is a spirit. It's a spirit who obeys a witch or other users of the supernatural and serves and helps that person. Although they may not be as intelligent as their masters, they are often as intelligent as the average human. Don't you love that definition?
I do.
So what they're saying here is that a black cat would be as intelligent as an average human.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, yeah, we wonder about that, don't we? So, when you're talking to your cat at home, think about that one. Think about your cat if they are as smart as you. And so then it goes on to talk about the different characteristics of familiars and what they do, and that they aid the person in bewitching people, and they can be used to spy on their master's enemies, and they can also be said to inspire artists and writers, that they are the familiars are the closest friends of wizards, and they're commonly defined as cats, and particularly black cats, although they could be other animals too, and that familiars are often given magical powers. They have magical powers. It's a magical creature, and the power of the familiar is directly proportional to the power of the magician, and the form taken by the familiar is also influenced by the personality of the master. And that's some familiars have free will, and others are willing servants who can make decisions and leave their masters if they're mistreated. Is that why cats run away from home?
Could be.
But what do you think of that definition, that whole explanation?
I think that that's a fairly deep explanation. I think that it's probably evolved over time. One of the more interesting legends that I seem to recall was there was a woman in Great Britain who was presumed to be a witch, and she did have a black cat, and the townspeople believed that at night when she let her cat out, it was not just her cat, but that her spirit was inside that cat, and she was able to basically sneak around the village, so to speak, and keep up with events without ever leaving her home.
Okay, well, perhaps there was a little more gossip going on there than we realized.
It could be.
But that is traditionally one of the supernatural powers that are given to cats. Also here in my research from the internet, it says that, yes, witches can turn into cats, and that can make that change 9 times. And hence comes the belief that cats have 9 lives. Do we really believe that cats have 9 lives since you're operating in a rescue?
I can only pray that it's true. You know, that there are some real heartbreaking stories out there, but you know, it's always rewarding when you can aid an animal, and for me especially a black cat. Two recent stories that involve particular animals that we have was last year about this time, two black kittens were pulled from the Detroit River. They're both functionally blind. They have eyes, but they're very small and undeveloped. They were rescued from the Detroit River. They were given veterinary care by the volunteers at the Wyandotte Pound. And once they were healthy, we brought them home in order to socialize them, not only with people and kids and dogs and other cats, but began trying to find them a loving home. And they're absolutely wonderful cats. And last night, one of them went home to its new family. So that's been a wonderful story.
So you rescued them when, a year ago?
They were pulled from the Detroit River about a year ago, and I think I brought them home from the pound the beginning of December of last year.
And so are they still blind?
Yes. And the reason that I'm hesitant about saying that is that although they have very, very poor eyesight and comically will walk into things like a laundry basket that is sitting in a spot that they're not used to it being, by the same token, they can run through the house, up and down the stairs, up and over furniture, track a fly flying through the house and catch it. So they've got some extra senses, I think, and they're both incredibly affectionate.
And they were blinded by what, being thrown in the river or from a disease? Or?
That I'm not sure of. I don't know whether they were blind and fell into the river or whether somebody tried to drown them and then the infection set in their eyes.
Oh, it was an infection in their eyes.
Yeah.
And so finally one of them, you found a home. You've had it for a whole year.
Just about, yep.
And then what happened to the other one?
The other one's still at home waiting for a home.
Okay. And so tell us a little bit about that one. Is it a male or female?
It's a female, and she's fixed. She's had her shots. She's very, very affectionate. When I'm sitting at my computer desk, if she wants attention, rather than jumping up into my lap, she may get on the desk beside me and reach out and pet my arm in order to get my attention. In the evening, it's become a habit that she'll get up in my lap and rub her face against mine, and she's just a wonderful, wonderful cat.
Now, is she a long hair or short hair?
Short hair.
Short hair, and she's a small cat or a large cat?
Large cat.
She's a large cat.
Amazingly, both of these kittens that were pulled from the river and went through all these terrible health issues early in their life wound up being very, very large, healthy cats.
Okay, and so is she talkative?
Yes. Probably more so than her brother.
Okay. So if someone listening to Pet Lovers Lane here on WHFR is interested in adopting that cat or any other cats for you, how would they contact you?
If you wanted to contact me by email, one of the best ways to do it would be at familiar.friends@rescueteam.com. That's my email address. We also have a Yahoo group set up, and that is groups.yahoo.com/familiar friends. And if you go to Yahoo groups and just type in familiar friends, you should be able to find us. They're on that group site. It's a public site. All you have to do is become a member. We have photos of many of the cats that we've placed in loving homes, and we also have photos of the cats that are available for adoption and fostering at this time.
Okay, and what is the requirement for adoption? What is there a fee?
No.
Okay.
And the reason that I say that way is that this really is a labor of love for us. Operating as a charitable worker, the Federation of Circles and Solitaries, the rescue itself does not get any funds from the Federation. It basically comes down to my cash flow. And because I keep track of how many cats have been adopted and where they've gone and donations that have been given, I know that in the last couple years we've placed over 22 homes or cats in loving homes. And to make sure that those cats are healthy and ready to go into their new home environment, making sure that they're up to date on their shots, that they've been tested for feline leukemia and the other deadly diseases that cats can have, and most importantly, that they've been neutered and spayed, we've spent probably close to $2,500 just in veterinary care alone. And that's with a discount that we get for being a rescue. That's what we've invested in our familiar friends.
So people can donate.
They can. And cash, cat food, cat litter, it's all good.
And then how do you qualify people to find out if really they would make a good home for a black cat, and they don't have prejudices against the cat for being a black cat?
Thus far, every single adoption that we've made has been to someone either directly involved in a pagan tradition, a member of our community within the community at large, or someone related or friendly with someone that's involved in the earth-based religious movement. So most of the people come to us with built-in references, so to speak, and that's not to say that it always works out the way we'd like it to. We have had, I think, two or three cats that have come back to us, and that's one of the things that we pledge to people when they adopt a cat, is that if for any reason things don't work out, please bring it back to us and we will find another home for it. Sometimes somebody thinks they're going to be able to get away with a cat in their apartment even though they're not allowed to, and it comes back to us. Sometimes people just don't appreciate how much responsibility is involved in having a companion animal.
Well, that's true, and that would be the case with any cat or dog or pet.
Absolutely.
Any animal, and that's one of the things we've discussed here on Pet Lovers Lane, that it is a commitment in terms of time, attention, and money.
Absolutely.
And you have to be able to be willing to take the cat to the vet if it needs to go, and they need regularly veterinary care.
One of the hardest lessons that we learned over the last 2 years since we started was that we were so anxious to place black cats in loving homes that we initially, if the animal hadn't been neutered or spayed yet, initially we would let them take the cat home on the solemn promise that next paycheck they would get the animal fixed. And we found out, unfortunately, that most people, no matter how seriously they made that oath, they didn't always do it. And we had one case where they didn't take it in to get it fixed, and it had a litter, so it compounds our problem of finding homes for cats. In another case, for a male cat, they didn't get around to getting him fixed, and then as he turned into a big boy and started acting like a male cat, they were like, come get him. And so I picked him up and took him right over to VCA, and he was fixed, and he's been wonderful ever since.
Well, male cats do have special issues.
Yes, they do.
You know, I have to say, I am a little prejudiced against male cats. My cats are all females. Not that I wouldn't feed one or help one be rescued, but they just have some little issues. We're not going to discuss those issues here on the show because this is Pet Lovers Lane, and we want to talk about the wonderful parts of having a pet, and this is our special Halloween show, and that just does not fit into our topic. So I was thinking and trying to analyze why the black cats have this reputation. I had to look to my own little cat that I have at home. Her name is Mitzi. She's about at least three years old, and I got her at the Dearborn Animal Shelter. And she's almost all black. She just has a little tip of white at the ends of her paws, but she's mostly black. And so I got more than I bargained for when I brought her home. And she was so cute. I said, oh, this kitten is just adorable. And when I brought her home, what a personality transformation. I mean, she's half angel and half devil.
Right.
Now I understand how people get that relationship, because she has this devilish side to her personality, and she's very moody, and she's temperamental, and so if you do something that she doesn't like, she lets you know right away. She will hiss, she will bite, she will scratch.
And I don't know that that's necessarily a characteristic of black cats. I mean, having placed over 20 cats in homes over the last couple of years, and having approximately eight that I'm fostering right now in a pretty open environment. Again, they're socializing with people and a pit bull and a and a golden German Shepherd, and so they pretty much learn to get along with just about anybody. But there are exceptions, and in that type of environment, it's real easy to see how their different personalities are manifested in their relationship with people and with the other companions there in the house. I've got an older cat, one of the first ones that we took in as a foster, with three extra toes on each of her front feet. She wound up being quite a bit older than she than we thought she was when we picked her up from the pound, and we named her Lilith. And she is tolerant of most of the other animals in the house, but she has very special and definite space requirements. When you get in her space, she's going to swat you. Not people, but the other cats. The other cats, they all have different personalities. I've had two kittens that have allowed my female pit bull to basically adopt them. One last year before it went to a home used to suckle on her lip and knead her face while the dog slept. And it took a while for Hecate to get used to this cat sucking on her lip, but she did, and they bonded very, very closely. I've got great pictures of them. And now we have another kitten, Envy. My daughter decided that this one litter of kittens should be named after the seven deadly sins. So we have most of those represented. Again, has adopted Hecate as sort of a mother and cuddles up with her all the time.
Okay. So you know about animals having different personalities.
No doubt.
And personas. And I guess, you know, I'm just a little bit mystified by the superstition surrounding the black cat and how this all of these auras and mysteries have developed over the centuries and followed the black cat for all these centuries from Europe, from the Middle Ages, throughout Europe and here to the United States and still existing to this very day. Here we are in 2007. I mean, it's incredible to me. But, you know, we always have these sayings of don't let a black cat cross your path.
Interestingly enough, that's what we say here in America. In Britain and Japan, having a black cat cross your path is considered good luck. Whereas, again, if you live here in the United States and several other European countries, it's considered bad luck. Good luck associated with black cats also includes possessing a black cat, so give us a call. We've got some. Having a black cat greet you at the door, and I get that every day. Having a black cat enter your home is considered good luck. Meeting three black cats in succession. Come on over. We can do that. Touching a black cat. Some of the bad luck associated with black cats traditionally are meeting a black cat early in the morning, having a black cat turn its back on you. Scaring or driving away a black cat from your property is bad luck. Or walking under a ladder after a black cat has walked underneath it. And it's interesting to me that we have all these different cultural differences about the way we perceive black cats in particular when, if you go beyond the Middle Ages to when cats were first domesticated. According to my research, they were first domesticated in ancient Egypt. And while many people think they were worshipped as a deity, that's not exactly correct, but they were completely honored. In Egypt, it was once believed that the life-giving rays of the sun were kept in a cat's eyes at night for safekeeping. And I just think that that is the most wonderful thing you can say about a cat.
Well, one thing that I notice about my own cats is their eyes are a little bit different, and the pupils of their eyes aren't always circular. And they seem to change shape.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I'm not sure why that is. I'm sure there's a reason for it, but I'm not sure why that is. And perhaps that gives them sort of a different look. And then they have the claws and then the hissing and the sensitivity and their flexibility and their feelings that cats can feel. And they have quite an independent nature. But when a cat gets angry, like Mitzi does on a regular basis, I can see where that would instill fear in people, because she becomes actually demonic. And I asked her this morning, I said, "Are you possessed, Mitzi?" And she said, "No." But, I mean, I can understand how that would scare people.
Well, and I think if you look at the abilities of the cats, any cat, for their size, they're incredible athletes. They do come well-armed. And whether or not they utilize those weapons in defense or any type of aggression is entirely up to them. One of the cats that I rescued from Lincoln Park, it was a street cat that a woman had been feeding for some weeks and was literally fur and bones. I could feel every bone in her spine when I picked her up. She was scared, okay? I picked her up and took her right to the vet. She was fine with me. She did swat at me one time, but she kept her claws retracted. Okay, when we got to the veterinarian, her stress level increased considerably, and the technician that took her back to do some blood work came back with his arm bandaged. So,
well, they're actually delicate creatures, but they do have quite a few defense mechanisms, and they're able to defend themselves if necessary.
Absolutely.
If threatened. You are listening to WHFR 89.3 on your FM dial. WHFR Dearborn, we're making waves. I'm Susan Morell, and you are listening to Pet Lovers Lane. We're doing our special show today for Halloween in celebration of the black cat, and we are talking with Alexander Zayakov, who is in charge of the Familiar Friends Black Cat Rescue. We're just about to wind up here. Just tell us a little bit about a couple of the cats that you currently have for adoption and how, again, can people contact you?
All right. As far as contact information, the best way to reach me is generally by email at familiar.friends@rescueteam.com. Rescue team is one word. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 507, Wyandotte, Michigan, 48192. And my phone number is 313-655-2935. We've got several wonderful cats available for adoption. One that we've had for about a year now came to us as a result of a divorce. We work very closely with the Wyandotte Pound, and one of the officers there called me about a year ago and said, "I've got a gentleman here who's going through a divorce. He has to give up his cat." He said, "I don't even want to do an intake on it. It's a beautiful long-haired black cat, fixed, declawed. Will you come get him?" So I swung by on my way home and brought Scaredy Cat home.
Is this a male?
It's a male.
And he's how old?
I think he's about 3 years old.
And you call him Scaredy Cat?
I call him Scaredy Cat because he's very, very fearful, not of people, but of anything with more than two legs. And he is the only cat that I have fostered that I have not been able to acclimate and socialize with other animals. So he has semi-solitary confinement, if you will. He lives in my bedroom in the attached bathroom and sleeps with me every night. He's an absolutely wonderful cat with people. He wanted to kill the pit bull, so it doesn't work sometimes.
Right. So he's a cat that doesn't want to be with other pets in the household.
That's correct. He would be wonderful for someone in an apartment where he could be the focus of their love and attention.
And what color eyes does he have?
He's got bright yellow eyes.
Bright yellow eyes. And how big of a cat?
He's relatively small, and again, I'm not real sure on weight, but because I see so many cats, he's about half the size of a normal male cat, in my opinion.
Okay, so if anybody is looking for a beautiful, long-haired cat, male, and he's been trained for the kitty box.
Oh, absolutely.
And he has good manners.
Yes, he does.
And he loves people. But, you know, it's going to be a one-pet household. So you can give Alex a call at 313-655-2935. And how about one other pet you have available?
Since we've already talked about the other blind cat, Themis. I mentioned earlier the cat that I rescued from Lincoln Park, Athena. I'm guessing she's about a year old. It's taken me 2 months, basically, to bring her up to a healthy weight because she was near starvation when I brought her home. And unfortunately, she was so thin that neither myself nor the vet even realized that she was pregnant at the time, and she did miscarry a couple kittens the weekend after I brought her home, but she's up to a healthy weight now. She'll be getting fixed this week, and if anybody would like a wonderful long-haired female cat, she would be a good one.
And she's what color eyes?
Yellow as well.
Okay, and she's a large or small cat?
Well, because she's still a little bit underweight, she comes across as a small cat. But if you want to picture your traditional Halloween cat, she's got all the characteristics except the bad attitude. And she's got this cutest, I call it a beard, at the base of her chin that curls out, kind of like in some of the caricatures that you might see of the devil, where he's got sort of that that beard curling out from his chin.
Oh, perfect Halloween cat.
But she, from the day that she was healthy enough to join the rest of the animals in the household, not a single problem, didn't pick a fight.
So she's sociable.
Very sociable, wasn't afraid of the dogs, which blew me away because she'd been living out on the streets for a long time, and I figured that she might have had some bad run-ins with dogs, but that wasn't the case.
Okay, so Alex has quite a few cats, black cats, available for currently for adoption, and guess what? There would be no charge for the adoption. You just have to qualify as a very good pet lover.
That's
right?
We do base it on donations, whatever you're able to give. As I said, it's a labor of love. We spent almost probably over $2,500 on veterinary care, and our cash donations over the last 2 years have been about $370. So
there's not an official charge, but they do ask for a donation because Alex is taking care of the cats, and you have to expect that there's going to be costs involved with taking care of a pet and taking it to the vet. You have to feed it. You have to get kitty litter and all those good things. So, Alex, I want to thank you so much for joining us today on Pet Lovers Lane right here on WHFR, and I commend you for your wonderful work with the Familiar Friends Black Cat Rescue in Wyandotte, for all of your dedication to the black cat cause, because I think that they absolutely need someone like you and more rescue efforts and organizations to give special attention perhaps to the black cat in their plight in our culture, and perhaps changing some of the misguided superstitions and fears surrounding the black cat. And so I want to wish everyone a happy Halloween and celebrate it with your favorite pet, whether it's a black cat or a white cat or a puppy or a horse or whatever. And thank you for joining us today on our special Halloween celebration for Pet Lovers Lane. I'm Susan Morrell, and stay tuned for our October 2007 calendar. Thank you for staying tuned to Pet Lovers Lane for October 2007. I'm Susan Morell, and we are celebrating the Black Cat for October, our Halloween celebration. And I just want to give a few little proverbs here before we get to our calendar. Silky black cats and witches' hats, cauldrons and calicoes. A magical cat holds more wisdom than you really know. I believe cats to be spirits come to earth. A cat, I am sure, could walk on a cloud without coming through. There are no ordinary cats. The soul of another is a mystery, but a cat's soul even more so. What greater gift than the love of a cat? My cat knows the song in my heart and purrs it to me when my memory fails. What sort of philosophers are we? We know absolutely nothing about the origins and destiny of cats. The smallest feline is a masterpiece. People who hate cats will come back as mice in their next life. Well, I hope so. Alrighty, we're going to turn now to our calendar for October 2007 and this, our very special celebration, Halloween celebration of black cats right here on Pet Lovers Lane. We're going to continue on with our calendar here on Pet Lovers Lane, located at 89.3 on your FM dial, WHFR Dearborn. I'm Susan Morell. We're celebrating the Black Cat this year for Halloween 2007 right here on Pet Lovers Lane. And I want to let everyone know about the Last Chance Rescue. This is in Brighton, and they have a black cat ball out there every year. Last year they had a black cat ball, and they had a black cat beauty contest, and they voted and they nominated and elected a king of the ball. The king was Elliot, and he wore his crown very proudly. And they also had a queen of the ball. And last year's queen was Georgia. And they had a royal cake, a very special cake to fit the occasion with a black cat and frosting on the cake. And then it was all held at the Grand Ball location, which was out in Brighton. And they had an adoption fair, they had cookies and punch and a raffle. So I'm sure that was a fun event. And this year, they're having the Black Cat Ball again. It's a black and tuxedo cat adoption event. So if you have a tuxedo cat, they can join in the fun. And I have a couple tuxedo cats at home. And that means they're all black. The cat is all black. And they have white fur on their chest and on their paws. And that is going to take place this year on Saturday, November 3rd at the PetSmart on West Grand River in the city of Brighton. And it's going to be a wonderful, fabulous black cat adoption event with refreshments and door prizes. And their telephone number for contact information is 810-220-9393, extension 2. And they have a website, it's lastchancerescue.org. lastchancerescue.org. So it's a great group, and I urge everyone to go on out there and celebrate the black cat for Halloween. So here we are in the month of October, and October is National Pet Wellness Month, and it is also National Adopt a Shelter Dog Month. October 16th is National Feral Cat Day, and October 20th is Reptile Awareness Day. So there are lots of pet holidays right here in the month of October. And we have some events going on around town, some pet events. The Michigan Humane Society has a Pet Projects volunteer program for children who are ages 7 to 13, and that will take place on October 13th. That is Saturday, the same day as Pet Lovers Lane will air for the first time on WHFR. And that will start at 3 p.m. and run until 4:30 p.m. And that will take place at the Rochester Hills Center for Animal Care. And there's no charge for the event. If you would like additional information, go to the website michiganhumane.org. Also, Pause with a Cause is organizing the 17th annual Laps for Learning Pause Walk and Race. And that also is taking place on October 13th at 9:30 a.m. And this is in the city of Caledonia at Caledonia Lakeside Park, which I'm not sure where Caledonia is, but it's here somewhere in the beautiful state of Michigan. And the cost is $30 after October 1st. And we've already passed October 1st, so I guess there will be a $30 charge. And the information phone number is 800-253-7297. And Pause with a Cause has their own website, pausewithacause.org. And I'm sure you can find additional information right there on their website. Also, there is the Pug Rescue Network. The Pug Rescue Network is having an annual charity pug, they call it a Pugoween, also on Saturday, October 13th from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. And that will take place in Heritage Park in the city of Taylor. The cost is $7, and their contact phone number is 248-432-0102. Their website is Pug Rescue Network, pugrescuenetwork.com. And the Dearborn Animal Shelter, right here, our very own special animal shelter in the city of Dearborn, is having their Black Tie and Tails Dinner Auction and Fundraiser. That will be Friday, October 19th from 7 p.m. until midnight at the Dearborn Inn. And that is on Oakwood Boulevard in the city of Dearborn. And the charge for that is $175 per person. That's pretty much a formal occasion. So it's a great occasion to get dressed up in your best tuxedo and your best formal attire for the ladies. A beautiful dress you have there hanging in the closet the dress would like to go. So get dressed up and go to the Dearborn Animal Shelter's Black Tie and Tails Dinner. So it'll be a fabulous event, and they will have adoptions, and the pets will be there. It'll be a great time, great evening for all. And their website is dearborn-animals.com. And the Greyheart Group is having their third annual pasta dinner and auction. That sounds good for pasta lovers. And I'm a pasta lover, and I don't know anyone who isn't, but that's going to take place on October 20th. That's a Saturday from 5 until 10 p.m. And that will take place in the city of Berkeley at the American Legion Hall, which is on 12 Mile Road. And you can contact that organization at greyheart.org, O-R-G. That's their website. And they have a contact phone number, which is 866-GET-GREY, G-E-T-GREY, G-R-E-Y. So that also is a great group, and I understand that greyhounds make wonderful pets. There's also the Mid-Michigan Boxer Rescue. They're going to have a Halloween weekend. Halloween weekend, Saturday and Sunday, October 20th and 21st from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. And that will be at the Gibraltar Trade Center in Mount Clemens. There will be a small fee for parking. And for additional information, give them a call at 248-253-1583. And last but not least, a masquerade party. We have to have a masquerade party for Halloween, of course. And that will be sponsored by the Cascades Humane Society on Friday, October 26th from 7 until 11 p.m. And this will be in the city of Jackson at the Commonwealth Commerce Center on East Washington. And the charge will be $40 per person. If you would like to have a corporate table, that would be $350. And so you can bring everybody from the office and have a party, have a wonderful masquerade party for Halloween. And that will help the Humane Society there in the city of Jackson. If you'd like information on that event, give them a ring at 517-787-0541. So those are a lot of the events happening around the state of Michigan. And, of course, we have many, many adoption events. I want to talk a little about one or two of the adoption events. We have Home Forever, and they're having an event in Farmington Hills on October 14th from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. That's in Orchard Lake, and that actually takes place on the first and third Saturday of every month from 11:30 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. Let's go to Fortunate Feline Adoption League every Saturday, noon to 4 p.m., and every Sunday, noon to 3 p.m. That will take place at the Petco, 9 Mile and Gratiot in East Point, and also on Lakeside Circle in Sterling Heights. Their contact number is 586-563-1738. And last but not least, I just want to remind everyone to have a very happy Halloween with your favorite black cat or your favorite cat of any other color or your favorite pet, whatever your pet may be. And don't forget, it's Halloween. It's Halloween. The moon is full and bright, and we shall see what can't be seen on any other night. And I'm Susan Morell, and I thank you so much for joining me here on Pet Lovers Lane, a news, information, and talk show about pets for pet lovers and for pets. Have a safe and very, very happy Halloween with your pets.
That was Pet Lovers Lane, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn, the station making waves. Pet Lovers Lane was heard the first Saturday of the month today, and that will be repeated next Sunday. That's October 14th. And next Saturday, which is the second Saturday of the month, and that will be the regularly scheduled first Saturday of the month program, We Are Not Alone. In other words, We Are Not Alone will air tomorrow afternoon, Sunday, 10-7, from 5 until 6 p.m., and it's normally heard on the first Saturday of the month. It will be heard on the second Saturday of the month, which is that Saturday, October 13. Pet Lovers Lane, the program you just heard, will be repeated tomorrow afternoon, 5 until 6, right here on WHFR Dearborn, the station making waves. Stay tuned for Light from the Underground. I'm Lynn. I'll be your host this morning, sitting in for Bill. And we're going to get started a minute early here with a great new McCoy Tyner CD. Just hit the station. And just to remind you, this is WHFR Dearborn.